Over the last couple of sermons, we've been exploring the basic nature of faith. Faith is, as God defines it, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By that, we're talking about deduction, logic, and reasoning. We are certainly not talking about superstition or emotion or hopes and dreams. God tells us that if we want to come to Him, we must believe that He is. And that's going to be the nature of our lesson this morning. We're going to talk about, does or is God? Does God exist? And I've always preached this lesson from the perspective of how to deal with people who don't believe in God. But today I want to preach this lesson from God's perspective. I want us to see how God, who has existed for eternity, who is in heaven, and how He feels about the various ways in which man has tried to, as Paul said in Romans chapter 1, hinder the truth and unrighteousness. Man tries to obscure the truth. God wants us to understand something. I'm here. You can ignore me. You can say that I don't exist. You can act as though I don't exist. But the fact is, I do exist. And those people who please me are the ones who acknowledge that. Now, later on, we'll talk about the reasons God has given us to believe in Him. But for right now, I just want to talk about the fact that God is in heaven, and He's looking down over every human heart in the world today, and He is carefully assessing their attitudes toward Him, and the ones who please Him are described here. It is impossible to please God without faith. Now, there's a simple reason for that, and that is that faith is deduction and logic and drawing clear conclusions that have to be. I'd be really interested after this lesson for people to come up and tell me this, because I've never doubted. I was not raised in a Christian home. I had nothing to do with religion whatsoever. But I always knew there was a God. Not because my mom and dad told me, but because I could see in the material creation. And it was so obvious and evident that I never questioned it at all. And so when the time came for the gospel and to study the gospel, no one had to sit down and say, "Now look, Alan, you need to understand something. There's a God." Well, I've never thought about that before. Can you prove there's a God to me? No one had to do that because it's obvious. And we'll explore that in just a moment. But God made it obvious. It's impossible to please Him if you can't come to Him believing that He is. There's something wrong with our thinking if we don't believe there's a God. There is something wrong with it because it, as God will say, there's no excuse not to believe in me. Now, if God says there's no excuse to believe in me, I'm sorry, there's no excuse for not believing in me. That's His perspective. And on the judgment day, He's going to prove that so conclusively that the only thing you and I can do right now is make the decision, do I want to stand before Him on the judgment day and try to make excuses when there are none? Faith is the logical assessment of the facts and drawing the only possible conclusion. And that's how God has set it up. There's actually three reasons to believe in God. The first reason is the material creation. The second reason is the scriptures. And the third reason is Jesus Christ being the Son of God. Those three form the foundation upon which we build our faith, and most of us go from one to the other seamlessly. And our faith is so absolute and so convicting that we would die, that we would easily die without any doubt if the time ever comes when it's my life or my faith in God, there isn't really going to be a choice. Because the material creation is so convincing for most of us that we don't even question it. Now, as I said, evolution's out there and the Big Bang is out there, and multitudes of people have bought into that. But it's nonsensical if you think about it, and we'll develop that in a few moments. But God is not going to say, oh my, you have come up with such an incredible plan of how the world was created that you have an excuse now. I'll have to grant you that. You have an excuse. But it isn't. It isn't that at all. So when we can't see it, when we hope for what we don't have, we have to use logic, deduction, and reasoning. That's how we talked about this last week. If we accept the testimony of man, science, medicine, criminal justice, inventions, technology are all based on hoping something will be. Like technology, I hope I can make a camera that's better than the camera we have, or the first guy coming along saying, I hope I can make a camera that can mimic the human eye. He based it on the substance of things hoped for, and then he went about, and that's how every device that we have in the world today came into being. Logic, deduction. They assumed it would be. Thomas Edison assumed he could make a light bulb. He just kept working until he could. This is the nature of human growth and development. And so when we use it in the spiritual realm, when we do it in the realm of where God exists, that's the best possible use for this skill. And that's what God is telling us here, is that when you don't have a basis, because you can't see it, that's where faith starts. So, like Sherlock Holmes, he comes on the crime scene, the police have no idea who the guilty person could be. He looks, he finds this, and he says, I know who your criminal is. Nobody else can see it. Well, that's how we go through life. I can see there's a God. Because everywhere I look, it's obvious there's a God. Now, no one else can see it. Does that mean we're wrong? So, the starting point, and I've already made this point, but let's just talk about it one more time, and that is coming to God and believing that He is based on the material creation. When I see the sun rise, when I see all the stars, when I watch these television programs about life under the sea, life in the jungle, life in the tropics, vegetation, fish, mammals, reptiles, on and on and on, complexity, beauty, function, symmetry. We don't find that without a creator. Every creation requires a creator. And that's what we have to understand. So, in Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3, by faith, deductive reasoning, the ability to look at the facts, draw the proper conclusion, and be convicted on that conclusion. It's why we believe the world is round. It's why we believe that the things that are in existence today, that we have accepted, never proved ourselves, but we know they're there. It's deductive reasoning. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, that doesn't come except through the Scriptures. I know there's a God. I don't know who that God is until I get into the Scriptures. But I know that this creation proves the existence of a Creator. And so at some point, the question is going to come, where did it come from? Now, let's think about this. Let's think about this from every other realm. A computer. Anybody think a computer resulted from an explosion? Anybody think a computer evolved? A camera, a VCR, a DVD. We go into technology. We get out of technology. We move into inventions. The car, the Coke bottle. The plastic bottle. Oh my, What an amazing explosion here. Look at this thing. A package. A piece of cellophane. We know without even considering it. When I pick up this book, I know there's a manufacturer. When I pick up this piece of carpeting, when I look at this microphone or this recorder or this computer or those lights, and then I look at you and I say, not you. That was created. This was created. These were created. But you, no, you are an explosion. You are something that happened by chance. You know, that makes no sense at all. Everything in this room tells me there's a creator. And then we look at each other and we say there's no creator. Is there any logic to that? We don't even question it anymore. I've never picked up anything that shows design and not known somebody made that. And when I look at the sun, I think the same thing. Does that make me superstitious? Does that make us inconsistent? No, we're more consistent. Everything requires a creator, from the simplest to the most complex. So when we come to trying to understand who, we know there is a who. We just don't know who he is until the gospel is preached. Now, fortunately, we grew up in a nation where people had heard the gospel, and so from a long period of time, we've all known who this God is. But even if we didn't, because I've been in other countries, and we'll see here how God decided to reveal that to them. So what does God's word actually say? It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. I couldn't word it any better. That's exactly how I believe, and I think that's exactly how every one of you believes. We've looked at the evidence. We've looked at all of the other creations and creators that man has developed, seeing that none of them come even close to the complexity and the beauty of this creation, and we've drawn the most logical conclusion. The only logical conclusion is that the creation has a creator, and that's exactly what God says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's our foundation. That's my foundation. I don't have to debate it with anyone. God has said it. I believe God. I trust God. You say, well, aren't you arguing in a circle? Not at all. We're not arguing with a circle. Just like all I have to do when I see this book is turn to the second page. I know on the second page or third page is going to tell me who made the book. And everything that exists has a creator. Why am I arguing in a circle? You're the one who says that an explosion and waiting long enough has brought this into being. Show me one thing in the material creation that would reflect that. Nothing. Show me one thing in the real world that would even begin to... Nothing. They have nothing. We have everything. Everything has a creator. We know that there is a creator. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Everything else, that's true. So clearly, God expects us to draw that conclusion. And that's why he affirms it. I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hands, stretched out the heavens, and all their host I have commanded. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens? Who is God? Who formed the earth and made it? Who has established it? Who did not create it in vain? Who formed it to be inhabited? I am the Lord, and there is no other. You know, that verse resonates with me. That verse doesn't give me any real qualms or sense of, boy, that's just assuming so much. This verse really bothers me. This verse makes me feel like I just don't know if I can. No, it's just exactly the opposite. You read this verse, I read this verse, because God has affirmed it. Verse 19, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare the things that are right. Now, the only option we have at this point is to call God a liar or to say the creation doesn't have a creator. Now, I can't live like that, and you can't live like that. That makes no sense at all. We would be living in an insanity if we were to accept that there is no God and that this creation has no creator. That is absolutely baseless in every way. In Acts 14, the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who has by God generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways, nevertheless he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. God doesn't go into a big scientific dissertation here. He just states the facts. And the facts are that in bygone generations, God allowed nations to walk in their own ways. And of course, that's still true today. We have people today who are walking in their own ways. Nevertheless, God hasn't left himself without witness. Can you imagine what this world would really be like if it had come from an explosion? I mean, we have been witnessing just in the last few weeks these huge storms with tornadoes. By chance, the world tends toward dissolution. By chance, the world tends toward destruction. That's the normal thing in a creation. It's all winding down. Everything we buy, the moment we buy it, it's already growing old. And it doesn't take that long. And if there were no God, this world would be a dismal place. There wouldn't be the beauty. There wouldn't be all these flowers. There wouldn't be all this fruit and all of these beautiful things that we witness all the time. That shows the hand of a creator. You go to a place like after World War II where the bombs have been dropping and you get a sense of what things look like if we just let them go. God says in verse 17, I did not leave myself without witness. I did you good, I gave you rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. If you want to know what this world would be like if it had just been exploded into existence, go to Mars, go to Venus. That's what happens. If God doesn't act on a planet like God told us he did on Earth, that's what you get. when he's speaking to these people at Athens. He doesn't go into a long dissertation. He doesn't say, now this and this and this. He just states the facts. God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. That's the truth. That's a fact. And it resonates with me. It makes perfect sense to me. Especially when I see Jesus Christ and I look at the scriptures and I understand how these things all fit together. This makes perfect sense. This is logic. I don't cringe. I wish this verse wasn't in the Bible. This verse doesn't resonate in the real world. Yes, it does. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Now, from God's perspective, that's all man needs. You can read from Genesis to Revelation, and you won't find any more than these three verses. Except for another one a couple more we'll look at in just a moment. Verse 25, nor is he worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything. A God who can make the sun, what can I give to him? A God who can make the sun, the moon, and the stars. A God who can create the earth with its beautiful, complex. What do I have to offer him? What is man that you are mindful of him? Verse 26, he has made from one blood every nation of man to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries. Verse 27, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. Though he is not far from each of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. Now again, this verse is not cringeworthy. This verse makes perfect sense. And it's one of the reasons why I'm so glad I'm a Christian, why I'm so convicted and committed to Christianity, to keeping the word, to understanding that Jesus is the Christ, they all fit together and they create an ironclad conviction that really can't be touched. So, is the creation alone enough? Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. People like us are normal. People who look at the things that are made and understand there has to be a God, that's how it ought to be. And that's what God says here. And on the judgment day, you're not going to have an excuse if you don't understand his eternal power and Godhead. Now, that's from God's perspective. That's not from our perspective. If you've been convinced about evolution, if you've been convinced about the Big Bang, this isn't going to be enough to convince you. But on the judgment day, God is going to be able to show you, you still don't have any excuse. You could have known, you could have seen, I told you about it. Since the creation of the world, and since the creation of the world, we've seen all sorts of situations. We've seen the flood, we've seen Sodom and Gomorrah, we've seen Egypt, we've seen Babylon, we've seen Greece and Rome. And God says, in every one of those cultures, regardless of how far they got from me, since the creation of the world, my invisible attributes are clearly seen. You can see them in the things that are made. God says that's more than enough. So whatever reason or excuse anyone else puts forth, I'm going to show it to be folly. I like this verse. You say, well, it's because you are so superstitious and so... No, it's not, because it resonates. It's logical. It's like Sherlock Holmes. You take this piece and this piece and this piece and you say, there's no way it could be anything else. I understand exactly what God is saying here. You look at the sun and the fact that it is burning at the same temperature. We can't even hardly do that with our furnace for more than a few years before something goes wrong with it. But God, without anything but initially creating it, he's put that sun up there. And for the last, since the creation, it's burned at a steady temperature and it has created everything that we have. Man can't do that. And it can't happen by chance. That has to be something that proves a creator. So does the moon. So do the seasons. Everything points to this reality. And that's why God says, only a fool. Now, God isn't trying to insult us here. He's just stating that on the judgment day, that's what it's going to turn out to be. You're going to feel so foolish when you stand before me on the judgment day and say, wait a minute, you don't exist. God understands what we don't. God said it a second time. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. Night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It's heard in deep dark Africa. It's heard in India. It's heard in Japan. It's heard in China. It's heard everywhere. Some people turn the volume down. But the fact is that every day is an opportunity to become reacquainted with and to understand the awesome nature, power, wisdom, and glory of God. The heavens declare that glory. The earth shows his handiwork. It shows his everlasting power and his divine nature. Like I said, man can't do that. We can build things, but nothing we build can last more than what? 40, 50 years? Then it needs to be renovated, it needs to be rebuilt, it needs to be redone, or it needs to be thrown away. And yet, for at least 5,000 or 6,000 years or more, everything in this material creation has been functioning flawlessly and perfectly. Only God can do that. Man can't even do that. We have creators in the world today, but they can't vie with God. And to turn it around and say, well, no, God didn't create it, this is all by chance. Only a fool could say that. Only a person who doesn't have any sense could say that this complex universe Now, you say, well, Alan, you couldn't go head-to-head with them. Well, you're right, I couldn't. They're smarter than me. They have all of their textbooks and all of their people who are backing them up. But I have God. And I have an eternity that's coming when God is going to turn all of those people into the fools they are, and he's going to praise us. Because if we want to be pleasing to him, believing that he is the first priority, and believing that he is just means look out around you and realize how complicated it is and how amazing it is, and see his glory. And again, this is not an exaggeration. Anyone reasoning logically and with an open mind is going to be drawn to this. And so, unless, as Paul said, someone is hindering the truth in unrighteousness, this is where we are. And this is what the scriptures are teaching. So, you know, how does your heart resonate with it? I can't see into your heart. You can't see into my heart. I know how I feel. But that's the question. In our own heart, do we agree with this? The creation is here. We know it hasn't been here forever. At some point, it came into being. How did it come into being? Can you really believe an explosion? You know, I've used this illustration before. How many times has a hurricane or a tornado gone through and turned a shack into a mansion? How many times has a head-on collision turned a Volkswagen into a Cadillac or a Porsche? How many times has any cataclysm created something more complex and more beautiful and more stately and better? It's never happened. Not in anyone's experience has that ever happened. How many times do these things have to not happen before we say, this is crazy? How could we think that an explosion could create all of the stars, all of the planets, and life itself, the ability to think, remember, reason, talk, communicate, feel, plan from an explosion? How could that be? I mean, maybe we could have this single-celled amoeba. I could almost buy that the world could possibly, although that's pretty big of a struggle. But anything beyond that, it just, to me, it doesn't resonate. As we look at all of the alternatives that man puts forth, there's no excuse to believe that, except you want to. You don't want there to be a God. You want to be able to live the life you want to live. You have a vested... The prejudice is actually not in the heart of the Christian. The Christian's giving everything up because of his belief in God. Whereas the people who reject God are doing so that they can hold it all for themselves. There's no unselfishness in any other excuse or reason for the creation. And quite frankly, it requires a leap of faith that's way too big for me. And I think most of you would resonate. And as I said, I'd like to hear from you after the lesson if you feel differently about it. My heart resonates with this. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't it amazing how the human body can regenerate? You break a bone, it fixes itself. Why can't my car do that? Why can't man create a car to do that? Why can't man create anything that can do what the human body can do? They can't. If mind over matter cannot produce what the material creation reflects, are we ready to cede and say, well, it wasn't mind? Matter created matter, or matter by chance got more complex. I think this is it. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. No doubt about it. From the circulatory system to the respiratory system to the cardiovascular system to the central nervous system to, I mean, we could just go on and on and on. We are amazing and fearfully and marvelously made. The ability of a child to learn a language, the ability of a child to grow up and become an adult and have all of the abilities of their parents. Man can't produce that. I'm not the result of an explosion. It's too complicated for that answer. Not only because of the amazing body, but the amazing soul. I can think, I can plan, I can reason. How did that happen? Scientists don't have an answer. It's here. It had to have come by chance. So figure it out yourself. But they can't explain it. They can't explain reproduction. Think about that. A man and a woman can have a child, and that child can grow up to look like them and act like them and talk and think and do everything they can do. Search high and low. You can't find that in man's abilities. It is a reflection of God's everlasting power and divinity. So when we have songs like this, "This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears all nature rings and sings and round me rings," the music of the spheres. My heart resonates with that. That makes sense. That's logical. That's reasonable. That's true to the facts as we know them. "This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise. The morning light, the lily white, declare their maker's praise." Oh, no, no, it was just an explosion. It was just an explosion, mindless, with no reason or purpose or value. It just happened. My heart can't resonate with that. It makes no sense. It is so contrary to the reality of everything else in the universe, except this one point. "O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds your hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, your power throughout the universe displayed." Amen. That makes perfect sense. That's what God says. Every fact around us verifies what God says. And so when I sing this song, I don't cringe. I don't feel stupid. I don't feel like this is a crutch for the weak. Science has not been able to dent. Matter of fact, the further science goes with DNA, and as they dig further and further and more into the complications, becomes more and more clear to me that this is true and theirs is false. Science can't put a dent. True science cannot put a dent in this truth. "There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from mortal sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue." How else would you explain that? How could an explosion create an atmosphere with clouds and sky and beauty? "He tinted skies with heavenly hue." The sunset. I remember a teacher back in sophomore year of high school telling us the reason the sunsets were so beautiful is because of the pollution that we had developed. And it didn't resonate. We used to, my friend and I, my best friend married Jeannie's sister, and we weren't Christians at the time, but we were both in this guy's class. Matter of fact, that's how we met each other. And we used to laugh and laugh and laugh, even though we weren't Christians, because he was trying to prove evolution and he was trying to prove the Big Bang. And we knew it was the dumbest thing. It just couldn't resonate. Like I said, the only reason it'll resonate is not because it's logical, but because you don't want there to be a God. You already have a prejudice if you don't want there to be a God. There is a God. He is alive. In him we live and we survive. And then, when we behold the wonders of creation, the flowers that bloom, the raindrops as they fall, spring, fall, winter, summer, harvest, Explosion? Really? Evolution? It doesn't resonate. Brethren, let's be honest. That doesn't make any sense. This makes perfect sense. This fits the world we live in. The spacious skies and life's perpetuation. We cannot doubt that God controlled it all. So, as we wind down our lesson, I'll just state this. There's no excuse. It is impossible to please God if you don't believe He is. He has given us the evidence and the testimony, and He's just waiting. We're either going to accept it or we're not. But God says, on the judgment day, I am going to condemn you, and there will be no excuse for you to say, I didn't know you existed. So, is this a crutch? To me, it's the only logical, reasonable explanation that fits all the facts. You can, oh, it fits this fact, it fits this. No, this fits everything. This fits like a hand in a glove. You remember the lawyer, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit? This fits like a hand in a glove. Alone, there might be some room. I mean, there might be some question, but when you add the Bible, which we'll do next week, and when you add the evidence for Jesus Christ being the Son of God, that's it. God, who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made of hands, nor is He worshipped with man's hands as though He needed anything. He gives to all life, breath, and all things. So how do you feel now? I don't think anyone can convince us of this truth if we can't see it ourselves in the material creation. There's nothing else to base it on, except, as I said, the other ancillary things, which would be the Bible and the nature of Christ Himself. So as we open our songbooks up now to number 311, we all need to ask ourselves this question, and we need to think about it from time to time, and we need to sing those songs from time to time, and make sure they still resonate. We will not get to heaven. I don't care if you remain a faithful member of the Lord's church for your whole life. If you have doubts, there's a God. You can't please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. No doubt, no question, no concerns whatsoever. If you're in the audience this morning and you recognize that for one reason or another, God's not happy with you, this would be an excellent opportunity to fix that before you meet Him. We will stand before God and we will give a reason. But if we obey the gospel and we have Jesus as our intercessor, we don't have to worry about that. He'll take care of it. If we can help you in any way, either in wanting to obey the gospel or in repenting of your sins and confessing them, we would like to give you that opportunity right now as we stand and sing.